What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
We're on 98.5. It is weekdays with Mike. Good to have your company this morning. Now, we are going to be talking solar panels this morning with our solar expert, Jason, back in the studio. How are you, Jason?
Good, thanks, Mark. How are you?
Great, good. Good to have you back in. We've got quite a few questions coming through already, so let's get straight into it, shall we? Thank you, Helen from Warmbro, sent a question in. Now, Helen says we have solar panels. They had them installed in 2013, which would have been a popular time because it started to really take off in 2010, but are having issues with the inverter and the panels. Original supplier and installer are no longer in business. Do you come across this quite a bit? That's 8 years old, right? They're gone.
Yeah. So this would be the biggest question we get asked every day, and followed up with the statement of, you know, the supplier or the installers are no longer around. The first thing you'd want to do if you're in Highland's situation is get someone out there, go through it, and get a backbone of what equipment's out there, how good this equipment is, can it continue, is it at its end of life,
right?
And then assess, okay, where, look at the power bills, how much has it recouped, has it paid back its investment? So then Helen can make an informed decision based on information. That's the most important thing with solar, and boiled down to where Helen can understand it. That's the biggest key.
So Jason, if they're no longer in business, is that just a bit unfortunate for people? Like if people that are now looking at potential warranties or things like that, is it just bad luck?
Yeah, it's the industry is flooded. It was flooded, and it's probably going to continue to be flooded. And there's a lot of turnover, a lot of churn through the industry, and we're always competing with that. You'll probably find there's a line of people that are churning in and out of the industry, trying to make some money, and then you've got a core set of people that are in there and trying to put a backbone to the industry. So.
Worth doing some research potentially before you, but get someone out, Helen. Now, Helen, we've got quite a few questions there. Also, Helen's asking, they are thinking of upgrading to a new system, but to include a battery so we can completely be self-sufficient. Is this, again, are people starting to look at if they're either maybe for the first time installing solar or maybe in Helen's situation, we're talking 8 years down the track upgrading, battery. What are your thoughts there?
So there's two lines of thought. So I go out, I see Helen, and we've established one side of it where, okay, the panels need to be replaced. So they're at end of life. That's when we go
already?
Back.
Already? 8 years?
Yeah, it can happen. We've pulled off panels after four, Mike. It's,
what?
Yes. So there is the industry is new. So it's the equipment. It's really important. They're sitting up in Australian sun for, long periods of time.
Yeah.
You know, they're sitting between, you've got a cell, you've got glass on top, you've got a metal frame around the outside.
Yeah.
Lots of things can go wrong with that, like water penetrates around the aluminium frame and causes what we call a ground fault. If I have a bit more time I'll go into that a little bit. But basically, there's a lot of things that can happen to a solar panel that will cause it to, go down and will have to be replaced. But if it turns out there's nothing wrong with our system, then it's good for us because we go there and we can have a look at it. Okay, it's made you this much money over this much time. Mm. Push it out, keep it going.
Okay.
For as long as we can get out, as long as Helen can get out of that investment. One thing I see time and time again is people are coming to the end of the 40 cents feeding tariff. It was a 40 plus a 7. June 2011. That's when, up until then you could apply for that and get that. Just because you're coming off that feeding tariff doesn't mean that you need to replace the system, or should you? And do not get on if you've got someone on the end of a phone, not even coming out to your house, saying to you, buy a new system because it's this old, just hang up and talk to someone that's going to come out, have a look at what you've got.
Okay.
Because once we establish what you've got and it's a half decent system, we can push it out, let's keep it going. If we can't, then we might have to replace the whole lot. But just because you're like I say, and I keep saying it time and time again, just because you're coming off that, don't go out and put 6.6 kilowatts of cheap solar up on your roof, because you might just export more to the grid. You wanted to do that when you're on the feed-in tariff.
Right.
40 plus 7, you want to, everything that makes it past the home goes to the grid.
Yep.
If you use it inside the home before it makes it to the grid, it's worth 25, 26 cents to you.
Mm.
If you don't use it at that time, it goes past the home to the grid, is worth 7. They've changed it now to 10 cents after 3, all of that sort of stuff. But you're kind of not interested in that anymore. You want to design around your daytime use. So if you pick up your power bill and you look at the back of it and it's got that renewable energy buyback scheme, you want that credit to be as low as possible. I want it, and I'm going to repeat this time and time again. The lower that credit is, the more valuable it is to you.
Because that's on the back of the bill.
That's on the back of the bill. So it's a renewable energy buyback scheme. It's worth 7 cents a unit. Or the new scheme is after 3 o'clock, it's worth 10, and before it's worth 3 or 4 or whatever it is. But we're not interested in any of that.
Right.
We want that credit to be low. So when I show up to a client's house, they go, solar's pointless because the credit on the back of my bill was 7 cents. All right? And so the first thing I say to them is, I say, okay, so the lower that credit is, the more valuable it is to you because it means that the units have gone into the home.
Right.
So if you don't use it at that time, then it goes to the street.
Gotcha. Yep.
So if you're coming off for a 40 cents feed-in tariff, and it's been valuable to you because all these units have been going to the street, there's no point in going putting a bigger system in because you've already proved to yourself that you've got those units going past the home to the grid.
Very good. We'll take a break. We are simplifying the complicated this morning. We are with expert Jason regarding solar. We've got a whole bunch more questions on that, and we didn't get to chance, but maybe we'll come back and chat about. Helen's been quoted $18,000 for the whole new system and battery system. I'm not convinced personally that I would spend that much, but you may shed some light on that after the break. If you've got a question for Jason regarding solar, you can text in right now. Solar panels 0429 985 985. Long Spandau Ballet Gold, there you are on 98.5 weekdays with Mike. Joining me in the studio this morning is our solar panel expert, Jason. Lots of questions regarding solar, Jason. That's one from Helen. She's also asking about, they've been quoted $18,000 on a payment plan over 5 years. So 5 years, but it's with a battery system. So what's your thoughts on that?
Again, it would be having a look at all the different factors. Helen's keeping us busy, isn't
she? Helen, it's good to hear from you, Helen, from Warnbro.
I'd be looking at all the different factors. So, again, you need somebody out there to go through, okay, what's happening at the home? How big is Helen's power bill is the first thing I'd be asking. Because we got, okay, for example, Mike, if we've got a $350 power bill and you've got no solar, the most easiest thing for a designer to do is go, okay, what percentage of your daytime use can we cover of that $350?
Right.
Then a good designer will design it. Is it used more in the afternoon? Okay, we'll put it more on the west face. And then as the sun's coming over, we're going to be producing more, and then we're going to be capturing that in the home. And say if we get that $350 down to, I don't know, say we get it down to $200. Once it's down to that $200, okay, this is where it gets tricky, and the price and the infrastructure will go up from there because now we have to start covering nighttime use. So how do we do that? We store it in a battery. So we need that battery to last maybe we need the battery to last 11 to 17 years. Have we got proof? Where is it installed? The hotter that battery is, the more it's cycled, the more time, the what we call throughput, goes through that battery, the less life we're going to get out of that battery. Once we've done all of that maths, we've got to now justify that battery on that $200, not on the $350 and try and hide it in under a payback period of a solar.
Right.
We want to try and justify it on that $200. So, okay, so now we've got it down. Helen's, let's say, for example, Helen's battery is 5 kilowatt hours. We can put 5 units through that battery. So we've got to get 5 units from the solar, so we make the solar bigger so it can go through that battery. And then it's going to be worth, say, 26 cents, 27 cents every time it goes through that battery. Then we've got to calculate that over the suspected lifetime of that battery. And then what if we can't? What if we only get 8 years and the battery is going to last 11? Then the whole episode, the whole thing's pointless.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all. No. So what you're, every house and every person's situation is actually quite unique. It's not just, yep, let's just get solar and stick it on.
Yeah.
The location makes a difference, the design, the setup, because you can get them separated all in one block. So, yep. And then you obviously calculate what Helen's looking at here with her $18,000
yep.
outlay over 5 years.
Yep.
Are you going to recoup that? Possibly not, depending on the situation, right?
Yeah, you'll find most of the time, and you know, you'll get a good designer out there, most of the time they will probably inadvertently or overtly talk you out of battery. Because right. by the time they sit down and tell you all the truth,
yep.
The person that's telling you, you know, the designer will know the truth, and by the time that designer's finished with you, you'll know the truth. And if your driver is purely financial, then Helen might go, no, I'm not interested, yes. because I'm never going to get this money back. If the driver's the power's going out and I've got a piece of equipment that needs to be for medical. I need to make sure I've got 4 kilowatt hours because the grid keeps going down because I live in the hills. Then that's a completely different driver.
Yeah,
again, you need face-to-face someone out there going right through, okay, what type of equipment has Helen got?
Yeah.
Right from, okay, where does Helen want to go and why does she want to go there?
Yep.
Through to, is what's the payback period and, you know, how long is all this stuff going to last?
Lots of questions. It does get confusing for the average consumer. It is not that easy to map your way through this. Just a quick one. We'll go to a song and come back and talk some more. And hopefully you can answer this quickly, Jason. Is Helen entitled to a discount again from the government going into solar for the second time? And I reckon there'd be a few people that would be in this boat now, because now that we're potentially 11 years down the track. How does that work? Is that a short answer or a long answer?
That I can make that fairly quick, I hope. So what you'd want to do with the rebate, again, we've decided we need to change them out because the panels are deteriorated over time or something's wrong. Okay, we look at the government rebates. Yes, we can claim that again because it's based on the solar panels themselves.
Ah, rightio. Yes. There we go. So you can get it again?
Yes.
Brilliant. We'll take a break. If you've got a question for Jason regarding your solar panels, you can text in right now, 0429 985 985. At 98.5 weekdays with Mike, we are attempting to simplify the complicated this morning with our solar expert, Jason. Heaps more questions coming through, Jason. Question from Lauren from Mundaring says, I've got a strata question. So Lauren says, I own my house, but I live in a strata that says no to solar panels. Is there anything I can do? Is that a tricky one? Is that a real estate question?
Well, in Australia, everyone's got their own meter. So as far as electrical, yes, we can put solar there. But as far as strata goes, that's kind of a little bit out of my hands, Mike.
Okay, we might have to get on to David Snell about that. And give us a call, David, if you know that answer to that question. We've got some more coming through. Graham from Helena Valley says, can you connect solar water heating tanks to existing panels or does it need to be separate? That's a great question. Does that come up a bit?
Comes up a little bit. This can be answered in two ways. Can it be directly connected? Yes. The solar panels are DC. You can directly connect an element into your hot water system with a few smarts, and there you go. It's DC connected. But my first point would be, well, it's already connected through AC. So the solar, the AC output from the inverter flows towards your switchboard, just a little bit like water.
Yeah.
So you've got so many voltage at the switchboard, you've got 240 volts at the switchboard, at the inverter you'll have 243. Get the power to flow towards that switchboard. Then if you've got a device running, so you've got your hot water tank and you've got it on timer, so you know, okay, it's the middle of the day, my hot water tank is turned, the element's turned on now, then the power automatically flow through the switchboard and directly to the hot water system. And therefore, it is connected in its own right.
Rightio. Do you find that people would often get both, Jason? Like, would people go for solar panels as well as a separate solar water, or not?
No, you'd probably just put a few smarts in there and have some timers on your hot water system, so it's coming on when your production's high from your solar, and just keep it simple that way. You know, otherwise you're just adding more products. Over time, I've learned the best thing is to simplify all this. The less products, the less equipment. So the smaller we make that solar system, if we're just doing solar and we're just designed around that daytime use, the better for the client. Better equipment, smaller, get that daytime use covered. Yeah. And that might be, and that's most of the time, 9 times out of 10, that's the best we can do. And a perfect example would be Helen. You know, you'd go out there most likely, you'd go out there, design around a daytime use and leave it alone if we had to make it solar. If we had to do something with her existing solar system, because she might even find by the end of the time we do a design, she goes from a bigger system to a smaller system, and her bills are relatively around about the same they would have been anyway.
Fascinating. Jason, we've got some more questions coming through. We'll try and get to those shortly. If you've got a question for Jason regarding solar panels, you need to be quick. Get onto the text line 0429 985 985. Back soon. .985 weekdays with Mike. Jason, solar expert, is in the studio. Who would have thought solar panels are that complicated, Jason? It's actually really complex, isn't it?
It is.
And it is hard to know what, especially if you're in the market to buy. A tricky one. We'll finish off with our final question this morning. Thank you for all of your text messages. Shani from Auburn Grove is asking that, actually. Now, Shani says, we are getting solar for the first time. How can we guarantee to get an honest and reputable supplier who's been around for a while? I've been listening to you guys, and I don't want to use a provider who's not in it for the long haul, because right at the start when we started speaking, Helen had a question this morning that kicked us off with regarding the, she was going back to the provider who is no longer a business back in 2013. What are some of the checkpoints or some of the things that we can be aware of if we're shopping around for someone to install solar?
What
do we look out for?
Well, the first thing I would be, if I was getting a solar installed at my house, the first thing I'd want is somebody coming to see me.
Face to face.
Because it's like trying to prescribe medicine for everybody and giving them the same medicine when everyone's so different. So if you've got one family and they've got two kids and the kids are 10 and 11 and the kids are not there through the day, mum and dad flat out working, and my supplier has said to me, or the person quoting me over the phone without coming out to see me, here's 6.6 kilowatts of solar. The salespeople now are grabbing tools like 6.6 kilowatts of solar and selling that over the phone as if it's a recipe to solve all the problems to do with electrical. And my power pill will disappear. The scenario there is, they've got 6.6 kilowatts, it might produce 25 units a day, but if most of them units are going to the grid and they're not capturing them anyway, then the payback period of that solar might be, you know, it could be 12 years, and the equipment up on the roof, depending on the brands or the quality of that solar, it might not even last that distance. So the next thing following, okay, how's the power getting used, is what equipment are they putting up on my roof?
Right,
I would rather see 4 kilowatts, 3 kilowatts, 2 kilowatts, 1.5 kilowatts, a really good solar put up on the roof that's going to get captured that units inside the home.
Yep.
So it might produce 10 units a day, but those 10 units might be worth 25 cents a unit to the client.
Okay, that's where it gets really confusing. So a face-to-face is definitely one checkpoint. What would be another one, Jason, you'd be looking out for?
And then following that, I'd be looking at, okay, the quality of the install. Things like, and we probably don't have time to get into this, but it does lead into maintenance a little bit, Mike, is what type of what we call rooftop isolators are getting put up on the roof? How are they getting installed? Okay. Then you've got little things like what we call grommets being installed, so moisture doesn't breathe in and out of that equipment, cause corrosion over time. Rooftop isolators, I'm breaking into that a little bit now because I really want to, and I've been dying to for the last last time since we started, is they are the biggest point of failure in a solar system. They start taking water, there's nothing to stop them once they start arcing. So if you've got positive and negative, just like any old ordinary battery, but we've got voltages of, say, you know, it could be up to 450, 500 volts, even higher. Once they start arcing together, it's just like a welder. They will not, until they burn themselves apart, stop that. So if you've got time, any of the listeners want to, get online, just Google rooftop isolators. That's what you want to be looking for, those sorts of things, those little things like that. What quality of stuff are they putting on my roof and how are they installing them? Because you get leaf buildup, stuff around these rooftop isolators, and they start arcing, then we've got some problems.
And does a reputable supplier look at your bill? Or they're not interested? Like, what does that look like?
That'll be the first thing they look at. Okay. And then leading on from that, they'll say to you things like, just take your time with this decision. Get the most information you get, the better.
Yep.
Because if they just want you to sign something without filling you full of as much information as you want, then they're not out for you. They're out for themselves.
That's an indicator.
It's a big one. Yeah.
Very good. Jason, we are out of time. We could keep talking for hours. Sorry we didn't get to all of your solar questions this morning, but we'll get you back in a few weeks' time, Jason. We're good to have a chat with you.
Beautiful.
My guest in the studio this morning has been our solar expert, Jason. You are on at 98.5, and this is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.